blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 204, stanzas 3 and 4. In earth or heaven above, who is there that I love compared with thee? My heart may faint with fears, but God my strength appears, and will to endless years my portion be. 3 and 4 of Psalter 204.
scripture reading for this afternoon may be found in the book of Psalms and thereof Psalm 42. But first, we make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 42, to the chief musician, Maskell, for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites, from the land, from the hill Miser. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Thus far our scripture reading, let us now together read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which can be found on page 126 of the Psalter. The form for the administration of baptism, the principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified. And we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we, by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort and to the edification of his church, and let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, and that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before thy the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother DeYoung? Father and Mother Slotweg. Father and Mother Adrian van Hagenbos. Father and Mother Gerwin van Hagenbos. Dear parents, we heard last week the words of Christ himself, who said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." They were not the words of a man alone. They were the words of Christ. And we can read also there an answer by Nicodemus. He says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" What was it? Ignorance. And where for his ignorance? Carnality. Carnality. A heart, a mind, which was not spiritual, but that was tied to everything that was here in this world. Are our hearts also carnal? Because baptism has a carnal side, but it has a representation, and that is a spiritual side. And when we are only carnal, and then we cannot profit from the meaning of baptism. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." What does that mean? He speaks here about water. He says to be born of water and of the Spirit. You say maybe that means baptism. That he has to be baptized and he needs to be born of the Spirit. It cannot be. Because baptism is not necessary for the salvation of our soul. But this, what the Lord Jesus speaks about, that is indeed necessary. Thus, it means actually when he says water and of the Spirit, that it means to be washed as water washes through that Holy Spirit. He says we need to be washed from our carnality, Nicodemus. We need to be washed from our worldliness. We need to be washed from our sin. And we need to be washed from our guilt. That is now one of the blessed meanings of baptism. Regeneration. To be born again. That which is born, he says, of the flesh is flesh. And you parents are going now to see each and every day that your children are born of the flesh. Every day you are going to experience that they are flesh and that they are born of the flesh. But you will bring them here and you will instruct them. And you will go on your knees for what? That they may be born of the Spirit. Will you now be looking? Will you now be watching your child, your children? Will you every day be searching? Oh, is the Lord now doing? Is he now answering the supplications? Is the Lord hearing our cries? That I may see that my child, he is not but born of the flesh, but that he is born of the Spirit. Can that happen? You say, I know it can happen. But does it happen? Does it happen anymore? Say, it happens so little in the days that we live with our children. That is true. Does that burden you? Go on your knees with that. Go on your knees with that for yourselves. Go on your knees with that for your children. Also with their baptism. Why? Do you know what the Lord says? He says, my plighted word, I will not break. Nor the promise that I spake. And now that is so sure, that is now bound up in that sacrament when that water will be placed upon the head of your child, then that promise of the Lord concerning His own church, His own elect, are we among them? That promise that is bound up in that sacrament, and that is now the hope. That is the hope for the church of God. May the Lord give you such an expectation for yourselves, such a hope for your children. Let us now, while the children are being brought in, sing from Psalter 215, stanzas 5 and 6. He willed that each succeeding race His deeds might learn and know, and that children's children to their sons might all these wonders show. 5 and 6 of Psalter 215, and after baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. Joel Hendrick, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Boaz, Jonah, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Brinley Teresa, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Julia Haley, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee, and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, that Thou may give knowledge also of those benefits and blessings in the midst of Thy church more and more, for Thou knowest the condition of each one of Thine own, and the blessings are so very great and so very high in their estimation. But then there is so little of that appropriating grace which is necessary to receive the benefit and the comfort of it. O Lord, thou knowest how thy people do tremble, even they are not able to put forth their hand and to take those things that they fear do not belong unto them. O thy servant did say that he longed for thee in a dry and in a thirsty land where no water was. Oh, then there was a remembrance of things gone by, but then there was no felt presence of thee in the moment anymore. And then thou knowest how that people can tremble, O Lord. Could it please thee to fill them once again with thy Spirit, that thou wouldst come again, Lord, for thou art the first one a time and time again. Oh, they cannot uphold themselves, and they cannot keep what thou hast given. Oh, then thou must again from thy side make anew, and in the old things they shall be revived. Oh, that thou wouldst give to feel and to experience the great need, and that we may be brought to the end of our own strength, but also to the end of our own life, and that these benefits of thy blessed covenant may be seen, and may be seen with the eye of faith, and that thou mayest give an appropriation in the life of thy people, and that will make their face to shine and their mouth to speak, and that they may be able to testify also in the midst of thy church. Oh, that the young generation also may be jealous of the portion that thou givest unto thy people. Do remember these parents. Give them that tender fear that they cannot miss in the promise that they have made, that thou may help them to fulfill it, and that thou mayest bless them abundantly with thy Spirit, that thou may remember also the grandparents, great-grandparents and friends and families. Lord, thou knowest some have also come from very far. Oh, then there is a desire to be a witness, that their seed is also brought into thy church. And thou knowest what a gladness would be in the hearts of grandparents also, when they might see their children and their grandchildren walking in all of thy ways. Oh, that thou mayest, Lord, look on us as a congregation and denomination in thy mercy, and that thou mayest return again. For thou knowest all that thou hast given unto our fathers, and that we have to say we are so, so poor. Oh, Lord, that there may be a beginning. Oh, that there may be a furtherance of thy own work. Thy Spirit, O Lord, makes life to abound. Oh, then fruitful will that ground be, and that it may be in the midst of us also. Care for us, the children, the youth of the congregation, that may witness also thy sacrament, that thou may give them to know and to feel that they have a baptized forehead, that they are set apart in the midst of this world, and that they have a great privilege not only, but also a great responsibility, that thou givest to them what thou withholdest from others, and that their cry may go out to thee in this day, and when they may hear the blessings that thou dost bestow upon thy people, and that they might say, with her of old, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. May it be from the days of their very youth,
and help us in this hour. Give us a good hour together in thy mercy and in thy favor. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Let us now sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee, my spirit thirsts thy grace to taste. An exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 164. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John, the third chapter, John chapter 3, and thereof the eighth verse. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So far the words of our text. Evidences of the spiritual birth. First, whereby these evidences are produced. Or where those evidences, children, where those evidences, those signs, where they are coming from. Second, wherein these evidences consist. So what are those evidences of the spiritual birth? Evidences of the spiritual birth, whereby these evidences are produced, and second, wherein these evidences consist. What are our thoughts, congregation, about this? Evidences of the spiritual birth. What does that do in your heart? Does that do nothing in your heart? You say, maybe, young people, it does not matter too much to me. I will listen, and then I will go home again. That is not a very good sign. And why not? Because that is not the way that it is in the heart and in the life of God's true people. But when we will begin to speak about the evidences of that new birth, then there is something that is very attentive in the life of God's children. That is something that is a very special interest to them. And why? Because it is not enough for them to have a doctrine, to have a religion, but they need that it be personally applied for their own soul. Then they are asking, like Newton, he says, 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Am I his or am I not? Do I love the Lord or no? Oft it causes anxious thought. Does that often also cause anxious thought? Not just thought, but anxious thought within our heart. That is the reason that the church is looking for evidences, marks, signs of that spiritual life. Because they are often afraid that they miss that spiritual life for themselves. What do the disciples say? Is it I? Am I the hypocrite? Am I the one that walks with an outward show and whose heart is dead, whose heart is empty? Bunyan's pilgrim, he was given a roll at the cross and he went on, and we find he slept. He slept in the arbor and he lost his role. He lost the evidences. Did you ever lose your evidences, people of the Lord? And what is that for you? Oh, then there is a cause for anxiety. Then he could not just go on. No, we read that then he is going back and he is looking again. What are those things in my life? Where has the Lord begun in my life? What have I now received from the Lord in my own life? Last week, and then we spoke a little about the necessity of the new birth. Why the necessity? Because of the total depravity of our soul. And we have entered a little bit into what that soul is, that it is mind, that it is affections, that it is our will, and that our entire disposition, we would say the root of that tree that has been corrupted in our fall. Oh, are there those that go away? Are there those that have gone to their own place with a heart that is perplexed to say, oh Lord, that I am from the sole of my foot even unto the crown of my head. Oh, there is no soundness in all of my flesh. Oh, our fathers, they said it is necessary for us to know not only our sins, not only our miseries, but they say how great that they are. How great are our sins and our miseries? Oh, they are pervading into every corner, all the recesses of our heart. The Pelagians denied this. The Pelagians, they say that it is in the mind. The mind is what has been depraved. And the Arminians, with their free will doctrine, come to something which is actually very similar. Some of them, like Wesley, they did say that man is totally depraved in all the faculties of his soul. But they say in common grace, the Lord has repaired the will. He has made that will sufficiently able to choose something which is spiritually good. So although that Wesley then has admitted the total depravity of man, still in the end, what does that come down to? Then it comes down still to the mind. And then what is the solution? What is their solution? All their solution is you just need to convince a person. It is the mind. He just needs to understand something. As soon as he will begin to understand, as soon as he is given light in that understanding, oh, then that will, oh, that will is not perverse. That will not choose something else. No, that will, as soon as he understands in his mind, then that will is going to follow that understanding. Oh, that is a denial. It is a denial of the necessity of the saving operations of the Holy Spirit in the regeneration of a person. Oh, it is a denial of the entire, the complete, the total destruction and that our fall has done unto our soul. And they are dangerous errors. They are errors which have been grasped on the greatest, by the greatest part of the Christianity of our time. They are errors that live within our hearts. They are errors that creep into the back door of our own churches. No, Christ has showed many people the way. And who could show the way as he did? But they did not listen to him. They did not follow him. And why not? He said why. He told them why. What did he say to them? He did not just say, well, you don't understand. No. He said, you will not. You will not. He said that the will of man, the disposition of man, the choice of man, regardless of his mind, that is depraved, he will not make that good choice. No, he says, you must be born again. You need a new spirit put within you. And he compares that then unto the birth of a child. A child is not born by his own will. No, those children, they were passive when they were born in that birth. And so that is also in the regeneration. Then there is a passivity in that birth. That is what the scriptures teach us, and it is what our fathers also teach us. We can read that in our canons, Articles 11 and 12. We won't read the whole thing, but when God accomplishes his good pleasure in the elect, or works in them true conversion, he not only causes the gospel to be externally preached to them and powerfully illuminates their mind by his Holy Spirit, that they might rightly understand and discern the things of the Spirit of God. Yes, Arminians, he does that too, but that is not all that he does, because the canons, they are written against the remonstrance, that free will doctrine. He does not only do this to the mind, but by the efficacy of the same regenerating spirit pervades the inmost recesses of the man. He opens the closed and softens the hardened heart and circumcises that which was uncircumcised, infuses new qualities into the will, which, though heretofore dead, he quickens, and so on. You can read it, page 108, when you come home, young people. And so our fathers, they have taught against that doctrine of the Arminians. No, it is not enough that a minister is able to lay out to the understanding of persons and that they can understand it from him, because that does not change our sinful will. It does not change our evil disposition. That is now the work of God. And the Lord, when the word is preached, because it is his institution, then it is necessary that he comes here. And therefore, congregation, we ask, what do we do before we come to the house of God? We do not come here to listen just to a man, do we? Do we not need then the moving of that Spirit of the Lord? That Spirit by which one word, unbeknownst to us, is brought into our hearts? Oh, do we then beseech the Lord when we come to the house of God, boys and girls? We need a miracle. We need the working of that Spirit of the Lord to give unto us that new heart, and the preaching that is the means for that, but it cannot give it unto us. Oh, will you ask the Lord? Do you know what the Lord says of that? He says, a new heart will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put in your heart, and I will take away that stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That is now where it has to come from. That is now the beginning of that spiritual life. That which is born, we read here, of flesh is flesh, and it remains flesh always. But now he says that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That is now our hope. Because when there is spirit, that is eternal. That is now a gift that is never taken away. You remember what the Lord Jesus said of that Mary? It shall never be taken away from her. And when now a man is born of that spirit, then that spirit will never die. Do you know what David said? He said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Do you believe that? Do you feel that? What a horrible, horrible pit. What miry clay that spiritual death is. Pelagians and the Arminians, they say it is not so horrible. It is not so miry. It is not so slippery. Oh, you can get out yourself. As soon as you understand. That's what they say today, young people. They say you just need to believe. We have to take hold, they say, of the promises. What is that? Oh, if you just take hold of it, then all your will, everything is going to follow. But it cannot be. Why not? Because there is no change of heart. And that disposition, oh, that remains just as evil and just as sinful as ever before. But that is passed over. But now an honest soul cannot pass over it. Oh, he says, what does it give me? It does not give me what I desire. It does not give me what I need. Oh, Lord, wilt thou give me that honest and that good heart that thou speakest of in thy holy word, wherein that seed can fall, that honest and that good heart. Where does it come from? That is not in here. That has to come from the Lord. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. In the original language, the word wind and the Spirit are the same word. They mean the same thing, breath. Do you know what Job called it? He called it the breath of the Almighty. Breath of the Almighty. You know that, children, already in the beginning of the Bible, then the Lord made the body of a man. And then we read, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And so it is now with the soul of a man. Is that not so simple? It is so simple from the side of the Lord, is it not? That we not cry unto the Lord for what is with him so easy to do? Will you not with tears, congregation, beseech him when he will breathe into our soul that breath of life? It bloweth where it listeth. No man commandeth it. No one says you must go here, you must go there. He is a free agent. It is hidden. You cannot see it. And yet, it is so powerful. So powerful. Does that give you hope? That it is so powerful? Do you ever feel the need for a powerful work? Do you ever feel the need for regeneration? Our fathers call it a resurrection from the dead. Who can raise me, O Lord, from the dead but thee? Our fathers call it a new creation. Who can create the world, O Lord, but thee? All one word, one breath, and we will receive that life. Oh, not only powerful, But it is that which is so gentle. We can read that in the Bible, that the bride, she is beseeching the Lord to come. That she is asking, come, O north wind. Come, O south wind, blow upon my garden. Do we ever ask this? The power of that Spirit of the Lord to blow also upon the garden of our life. The Lord instructs us to ask for this. The Lord instructs us to pray for this. He says to Ezekiel, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy. He says, O son of man, thus saith the Lord, come, ye four winds, and blow, come and breathe upon those slain, that those slain may live. Or do we ask then, as the Lord commands us to ask, for we can give ourselves not this blessing, no, we cannot see it. We cannot see that wind, children, and yet when you stand in that wind, you can feel it, can't you? You can feel it, right? Now, do you think that if the Lord will begin, that you will not be able to feel something? Maybe when you stand in the wind, you say, just, I feel a little breeze. But there is a movement. And when the Lord is coming with His Spirit, then there is also a movement. Then for the one, there must be a great movement. And for another, it is just a word that is behind them, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Oh, that wind, the wind of His Spirit that is felt, that is experienced. Do they then say, oh, now I know what is taking place in my life? No, they cannot explain that wind. And yet it cannot be any other way than that something is happening in their life. Cannot see it, but they often can hear a little something. They can see the effects of that wind. What are now the effects of that wind? What is that wind, that Spirit of the Lord, bringing forth in the life of that people, if the Lord will give it? In the weeks to come, we hope that we may give a little bit of instruction concerning this out of His holy word. And we hope to make a little beginning with that. But first we are going to sing Psalter 193, stanzas 4 and 5. 193, stanzas 4 and 5. So men shall fear thee while the sun in daily splendor glows, and through the ages, while the moon on earth its light bestows. 4 and 5 of Psalter 193.
Thank you.
thou hearest the sound thereof. Parents, what sound were you waiting for when that little child was born? What sound were you waiting to hear someone speaking? Were you waiting to hear someone singing? You say, no, we are waiting to hear someone crying. Is that not right? Is that not right? Fathers, mothers, all those children have been born. And we say that it does not always go the same in the life of God's children, in their birth. But it did it not all go in that respect the same? Mothers, fathers? What was now that one sign that made you glad when you heard a good, sturdy cry, and then your heart rejoiced, and you say, there is life that is born into this world? Today, it seems that so many who wish to take the name of Christian to themselves have been born singing, have been born speaking. If you read in the Song of Solomon about the daughters of Jerusalem and the bride, then you read that the daughters of Jerusalem, they have questions for the bride. Questions. They do not tell the bride the way that it is. They're asking her, how does that go today? Then there are those who claim to be born, reborn. And they are born talking. And they are born with great knowledge of spiritual matters. And they are going to tell the bride how it is. You understand what we say, young people? Then we do not say that it may not be that a newborn, a spiritual newborn, will not desire to sing. I do not say that. No, not at all. Not at all. But if that crying is missing, when that crying is missing, then we can quite surely say that there is no life. What is then all that crying about? We read here, thou hearest the sound thereof, in that newborn. Well, you say, what will make the newborn baby children? What will make the newborn baby quiet? Say, when he or she may drink. That is right. That will make him quiet. What does that mean? That means that he was crying because he was thirsty. Thirsty. What is that thirst? When we are born, then we are born with a human nature. And that human nature looks for its own self-preservation. That is one of the most basic principles of our human nature. The Lord has made us with a desire to live. And that crying, that thirsting, is nothing more than an evidence of the desire to live. Do you know how Bunyan pictured it? When his Christian was in that city of destruction and fleeing from that city of destruction. And then he showed him running, life, eternal life. That little child who knows you say nothing. Oh, he knows something. He cannot explain it. He doesn't know it consciously, but he is alive. He is alive. And such a soul begins to strive. There is a strife immediately upon the birth of that child. It is a strife to maintain his life. And that is now what makes him thirsting. You know what David said? My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? What is that? That is now one of the first evidences of that new life. As members of the church, we have been brought up in the church, and then we hear about God, about Him. But we do not all thirst for Him. Is there not a difference? Is there not a difference? Are we not all aware of such a difference between hearing about, thinking about, and thirsting for? Thus we have a point in this afternoon, a point of examination. It is not about our life yet. It is not about our words. It is not about our deeds. It is about what is happening in our soul. Thought, affections, the will. What is happening within? Can we begin to examine what takes place in our own mind? What takes place in our own thoughts? It is said sometimes feeling is the temperature of thought. Feeling is the temperature of thought. Thought is unmoving, but feeling, then there is a certain motion in our hearts. My soul thirsteth for God. For the living God. Oh, how many persons, church-going persons, maybe our whole life, does now this first point, the very root, that first point already, does that put us now on the outside? Are we now excluded already? That we say there is a lack of life? Christ says, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. But what did he say? That which is flesh is flesh. And now a newborn infant is born into this world. And when he is born into this world, then it is a completely new world. He is come out of that dark womb. There is new light. And he begins to breathe for the first time in his life. And there is life, there is human life all around him. A new world. And now that newborn soul, he is also born into such a new world. What does the apostle say? He begins to walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. What does Paul say? He says, for they that walk after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that walk after the spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. That is the new life. To mind the things of the Spirit. Do they not have still a life in this world? Oh, they do. Do they not still have to go to school, boys and girls? Oh, yes. Do they not have to go to work? Oh, yes. But what is now that life, that natural life, that carnal life? What is that now becoming for the people? It is becoming for them more and more a burden. A burden. Why? What does the apostle say? To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See what that new life is doing? That new disposition does not know so much now. But there is a beginning. There is a motion. There is a going toward. It is going out unto the Lord. They're beginning by times to groan. What does the apostle say? Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Oh, this life, this life, this life. You say, do they want to leave this life? Oh, they are afraid to leave this life. They are not ready to die, no. But That carnality, that is for always now to the end of their life, that is a burden for that people who have received a new life. Thou hearest the sound thereof. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Thus, a change in their heart, change in the affections. We see that just for a moment today in these affections. Where affections, the apostle said, on the things above, where Christ saith, on the right hand of God. Oh, the delight of that new life. That is to meditate, that is to think on these things. The treasure, the Lord says, the treasure of the people in heaven and not upon the earth. And then that wind of the Spirit, oh, you cannot direct it. It is so sovereign. And it is blowing where it listeth. It's coming, and then it is going. And when that wind then becomes so still, and then what happens? Oh, then those affections, then those feelings, they are also becoming so still. Oh, then they do not feel that motion. And then they become afraid. and they become very afraid. Oh, they feel nothing. What do they say? It is gone. It is gone. Oh, then they are so afraid that this never was anything. Because all that which they have known, David, he speaks about it. I went with the multitude, with the voice of joy and praise upon that holy day. Can you remember that in your life? Now, how is it? Oh, when everything, that spirit, that wind of the breath of God, then the fears, because they know the difference. They know emotion is. And they know very well the difference between thought that has no temperature, that has no heat, and those feelings, the intellect, and they say, the heart, my soul thirsteth for God. For the living God. Oh, then they say, I am dead. Is it so? That they are dead? Where then is that crying coming from? That crying under that deadness? Because there's a difference between the state of death and the condition of deadness. They are two very different things. Where then does that cry come from? And when they are crying out, oh, death, death, death. When their heart is yearning under it. When they cannot get themselves out of it. Is that not life? Is not that which David did when he said, my soul thirsteth for God, yea, for the living God. Oh, thou hearest the sound thereof. What is it heard in? It is heard in the complaints, the living complaints of a living soul, striving, to maintain that life. O Lord, be not silent unto me. For if thou be silent unto me, I be like them that go down into the pit. O renewed affections as a child, little child, and he is crying for his mother. Can he give himself to drink? Can he do that, young people? That little baby. Can he give himself to drink? You say, no. Cannot. That is right. So what does he do? Nothing. Nothing. You say, no, he does something. He does something. He cries. Cannot give it to himself. And thus he is crying. Oh, we are Orthodox, right? That means we believe in the true doctrine, right? And then we say it sometimes. We cannot give it to ourselves. Is that right? That is right. That is congregation, so right. We hope, young people, you never, ever, ever turn away from that truth. But we cannot die We cannot die unless that doctrine gets a little heat, gets a little temperature. Can we say that in such a cold way? I cannot do anything. Can we say that in such a cold way? Then it is only in our intellect. There is no heat in it. And now there is another people. They are also in our midst. And they are saying those same words. Oh, I cannot give it to myself. And what is now the difference? It is the temperature. It is the feeling that is in it. It is the need that is in it. It is the motion that is in it. It is the impossibility that is in it. It is in the necessity, oh Lord, hear my cry. Then there is a cry that is going out from a soul that cannot miss the true and the living God. Thou hearest the sound thereof, oh, does such a sound come out of your heart, out of your soul? The evidences of spiritual life, a life that is seeking after God, that is a good sign. That is a good sign, congregation. But it is actually not a conclusive sign. It does not give us any certainty. And why gives it to us no certainty? Because those affections, not those affections actually, other affections, there are affections, there are certain affections that belong also to the temporary faith. So we cannot place, we cannot begin to build our certainty upon such a sign alone. Oh, it is so necessary. If we miss it, we miss life. But it is not enough. And you know what we do with our hypocritical heart? Then we make ourselves a list. And we say, there is a sign. It's the love of the brethren. Check that off. And now the love of God, and they check that off. There is another one, and oh, then I'm doing pretty good. Is that the way it is? How is that for that child? You say, child, you are alive. What good does that do that child? Does him no good at all. Why not? He is thirsty. He is thirsty. Oh, and then there is only one thing. Oh, then we can say thirst. Thirst that belongs to that true people of the Lord. They say amen to that. But it does not quench my thirst. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And so they continue to cry. And so they continue to complain. Just like Jacob, who said, I will not let thee go, except that thou bless me. And you know what the Lord says of that people? He says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words, just a little beginning. But thou also must make a beginning, or that we might cry out to thee for such a beginning, that we may say unto thee, Lord, I have no beginning, no desire, no affection, no movement. It is all in my mind, all in the intellect. Oh, then there is nothing that goes out. Oh, give a crying, Lord, even in an outward way. And for thou hearest the needy when they cry. Oh, that thou thyself would feed thy people. And wilt thou lead them into those fountains of living water. And wilt thou help us in the weeks to come. Give to us wisdom that we may know how to lay out what thou doest in the life of thy church. And that thou would be near among us to bless and to sanctify. And to keep us in this week. Help each one of us in the places where we are called to labor. And care for the children at school. And all those that teach and instruct them. And wilt thou keep us from all disease. Remember those who are afflicted and sick. Those also that are in the hospitals, and wilt thou heal them in thy mercy, and wilt thou watch over our lives, forgive and take away all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 416 stanzas 1 and 3. As the heart about to falter, in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. 1 and 3 of Psalter 416.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.